Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. It's Tuesday, November 4, 1746. I rode to Woodbridge and lodged with Mr. Pearson, continuing a weak state. Wednesday, November 5, rode to Elizabethtown, intending as soon as possible to prosecute my journey into New England, but was, in an hour or two after my arrival, taken much worse. After this, for near a week, I was confined to my chamber, most of the time to my bed, and then so far revived as to be able to walk about the house, but was still confined within doors. In the beginning of this extraordinary turn of disorder, after my coming to Elizabethtown, I was enabled through mercy to maintain a calm, composed, and patient spirit, as I had been before from the beginning of my weakness. After I had been in Elizabethtown about a fortnight, and had so far recovered that I was able to walk about the house, upon a day of Thanksgiving kept in this place, I was enabled to recall and recount over the mercies of God in such a manner as greatly affected me, filled me with thankfulness and praise. Especially my soul praised God for his work of grace among the Indians and the enlargement of his dear kingdom. My soul blessed God for what he is in himself and adored him, that he ever would display himself to creatures. I rejoiced that he was God, and I longed that all should know it and feel it and rejoice in it. Lord, glorify thyself, was the desire and cry of my soul. Oh, that all people might love and praise the blessed God, that he might have all possible honor and glory from the intelligent world. After this comfortable Thanksgiving season, I frequently enjoyed freedom, enlargement, and engagedness of soul in prayer, was enabled to intercede with God for my dear congregation, very often for every family, and every person in particular. It was often a great comfort to me that I could pray heartily to God for those to whom I could not speak and whom I was not allowed to see. But at other times my spirits were so flat and low, my bodily vigor so much wasted that I had scarce any affection at all. In December, notice by the way, we just jumped from November 4, through the whole Thanksgiving season, what we would call that, already we're at December. He used to go every day with something. Now it's a month. In December, I had revived so far as to be able to walk abroad and visit friends and seemed to be on the gaining hand with regard to my health in the main until Lord's Day, December 21, at which time I went to the public worship, and it being Sacrament Day, I labored much at the Lord's table to bring forth a certain corruption and have it slain as being an enemy to God and my own soul, and could not but hope that I had gained some strength against this, as well as other corruptions, and felt some brokenness of heart for my sin. After this, having perhaps taken some cold, I began to decline as to bodily health, and continued to do so until the latter end of January, 1747. Having a violent cough, a considerable fever, an asthmatic disorder, and no appetite for any manner of food, nor any power of digestion, I was reduced to so low a state that my friends, I believe, generally despaired of my life. And some of them, for some time together, thought I could scarce live a day. At this time I could think of nothing with any application of mind, and seemed to be in a great measure void of all affection, and was exercised with great temptations, but yet was not ordinarily afraid of death. On Lord's Day, February 1, though in a very weak and low state, I enjoyed a considerable deal of comfort and sweetness in divine things, was enabled to plead and use arguments with God in prayer, I think, with a childlike spirit. That passage of Scripture occurred to my mind and gave me great assistance. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? This text I was helped to plead and insist upon. I saw the divine faithfulness engaged for dealing with me better than any earthly parent can do with his child. This season so refreshed my soul that my body seemed also to be a gainer by it. And from this time, I began gradually to amend. And as I recovered some strength, vigor, and spirit, I found at times some freedom and life in the exercises of devotion, and some longings after spirituality and a life of usefulness to the interests of the great Redeemer. At other times, I was awfully barren and lifeless and out of frame for the things of God, so that I was ready often to cry out, "Oh, that it were with me as in months past! Oh, that God had taken me away in the midst of my usefulness with a sudden stroke, that I might not have been under a necessity of trifling away time in diversions. Oh, that I had never lived to spend so much precious time in so poor a manner, to so little purpose." Now, thus I often reflected, and was grieved, ashamed, and even confounded, sunk, and discouraged. Now it's Tuesday, February 24. You see how quickly, or how little he's using the diary now. He just doesn't have the strength to do this. I was able to ride as far as Newark, having been confined within Elizabethtown almost 4 months. And the next day I returned to Elizabethtown. My spirits were somewhat refreshed with the ride, though my body was weary. Saturday, February 28, was visited by an Indian of my own congregation, who brought me letters and good news of the sober and good behavior of my people in general. This refreshed my soul. I could not but soon retire and bless God for His goodness and found, I trust, a truly thankful frame of spirit, that God seemed to be building up that congregation for Himself. Wednesday, March 4, I met with a reproof from a friend, which, although I thought I did not deserve it from him, yet was, I trust, blessed of God to make me more tenderly afraid of sin, more jealous over myself, more concerned to keep both heart and life pure and unblameable. It likewise caused me to reflect on my past deadness and need of spirituality, and to abhor myself and look on myself as most unworthy. This frame of mind continued the next day, and for several days after, I grieved to think that in my necessary diversions, I had not maintained more seriousness, solemnity, heavenly affection, and conversation. Thus my spirits were often depressed and sunk, and yet I trust that reproof was made to be beneficial to me. Wednesday, March 11, being kept in Elizabethtown as a day of fasting and prayer, I was able to attend public worship, which was the first time I was able to do so after December 21. Oh, how much weakness and distress did God carry me through in this space of time! But having obtained help from Him, I yet live. Oh, that I could live more to His glory. Lord's Day, March 15, was able again to attend the public worship and felt some earnest desires of being restored to the ministerial work. I felt, I think, some spirit and life to speak for God. Wednesday, March 18. Rode out with a design to visit my people, and the next day arrived among them, but was under great dejection in my journey. On Friday morning I rose early, walked about among my people, and inquired into their state and concerns, and found an additional weight and burden on my spirits upon hearing some things disagreeable. I endeavored to go to God with my distresses, and made some kind of lamentable complaint, and in a broken manner spread my difficulties before God. But notwithstanding, my mind continued very gloomy. About 10 o'clock I called my people together, and after having explained and sung a psalm, I prayed with them. There was a considerable deal of affection among them, I doubt not, in some instances, that which was more than merely natural. Now, this was the last interview that he ever had with his people, says Jonathan Edwards. About 11 o'clock the same day he left them, and the next day came to Elizabethtown, his melancholy remaining still, and he continued for a considerable time under a great degree of dejection through vapory disorders. Saturday, March 28, was taken this morning with violent gripping and pains. These pains were extreme and constant for several hours, so that it seemed impossible for me without a miracle to live 24 hours in such distress. I lay confined to my bed the whole day, and in distressing pain all the former part of it. But it pleased God to bless means for the abatement of my distress. Was exceedingly weakened by this pain, and continued so for several days following, being exercised with a fever, cough, and nocturnal sweats. In this distressed case, so long as my head was free of vapory confusions, death appeared agreeable to me. I looked on it as the end of toils, and an entrance into a place where the weary are at rest. I think I had some relish of the entertainments of the heavenly state, so that by these I was allured and drawn as well as driven by the fatigues of life. And oh, how happy it is to be drawn by desires of a state of perfect holiness. Saturday, April 4, was sunk and dejected, very restless and uneasy by reason of the misimprovement of time, and yet knew not what to do. I longed to spend time in fasting and prayer, that I might be delivered from indolence and coldness in the things of God. But alas, I had not bodily strength for these exercises. Oh, how blessed a thing it is to enjoy peace of conscience. But how dreadful is the lack of inward peace and composure of soul. It is impossible, I find, to enjoy this happiness without redeeming time and maintaining a spiritual frame of mind. Lord's Day, April 5. It grieved me to find myself so inconceivably barren. My soul thirsted for grace, but alas, how far was I from obtaining what appeared to me so exceeding excellent? I was ready to despair of ever being a holy creature, and yet my soul was desirous of following hard after God. But never did I see myself so far from having apprehended or being already perfect as at this time. The Lord's Supper being this day administered, I attended the ordinance. Though I saw in myself a dreadful emptiness and want of grace, I saw myself, as it were, at an infinite distance from that purity which becomes the gospel, yet at the communion, especially the distribution of the bread, I enjoyed some warmth of affection and felt a tender love to the brethren, and I think to the glorious Redeemer, the firstborn among them. I endeavored then to bring forth mine and his enemies and slay them before him, and found great freedom in begging deliverance from this spiritual death, as well as in asking divine favors for my friends and congregation and the Church of Christ in general. Tuesday, April 7. In the afternoon, rode to Newark in order to marry the Reverend Mr. Dickinson, and in the evening performed that work. Afterwards, rode home to Elizabethtown in a pleasant frame, full of composure and sweetness. Thursday, April 9. Attended the ordination of Mr. Tucker, and afterwards the examination of Mr. Smith. Was in a comfortable frame of mind this day, and felt my heart, I think, sometimes in a spiritual frame. Friday, April 10, spent the forenoon in presbyterial business. In the afternoon, rode to Elizabethtown. I found my brother John there. Spent some time in conversation with him, but was extremely weak and outdone. My spirits considerably sunk, my mind dejected. Monday, April 13, assisted in examining my brother. In the evening, was in a solemn, devout frame, but was much overdone and oppressed with a violent headache. Tuesday, April 14, was able to do little or nothing. Spent some time with Mr. Byram and other friends. And this day my brother went to my people. Wednesday, April 15, found some freedom at the throne of grace several times this day. In the afternoon was very weak. spent the time to very little purpose, and yet in the evening had, I thought, some religious warmth and spiritual desires in prayer. My soul seemed to go forth after God and take complacence in his divine perfections. But alas, afterwards awfully let down my watch and grew careless and secure. Thursday, April 16, was in bitter anguish of soul in the morning, such as I have scarce ever felt, with a sense of sin and guilt. I continued in distress the whole day, attempting to pray wherever I went. Indeed, could not help so doing, but looked upon myself so vile, I dared not look anybody in the face, was even grieved that anybody should show me any respect, or at least that they should be so deceived as to think I deserved it. Friday, April 17, in the evening, could not but think that God helped me to draw near to the throne of grace, though most unworthy, gave me a sense of his favor, which gave me inexpressible support and encouragement. I scarcely dared to hope the mercy was real. It appeared so great, and yet I could not but rejoice that ever God should discover his reconciled face to such a vile sinner. Shame and confusion at times covered me, and then hope and joy and admiration of divine goodness gained the ascendant. Sometimes I could not but admire the divine goodness that the Lord had not let me fall into all the grossest, vilest acts of sin and open scandal that could be thought of, and felt myself so necessitated to praise God that this was ready for a little while to swallow up my shame and pressure of spirit on account of my sins. After this, his dejection and pressure of spirit returned. I remained under it the next 2 days. Monday, April 20, was in a very disordered state. I stayed in bed most of the day. I enjoyed a little more comfort than in several of the preceding days. On this day, I arrived at the age of 29 years. Tuesday, April 21, I set out on my journey for New England in order, if it might be the will of God, to recover my health by riding. I traveled to New York and I there lodged. Well, this proved to be his final departure from New Jersey. He traveled slowly. He arrived among his friends at East Haddam about the beginning of May. There's very little account in his diary of the time that passed from his setting out on his journey to May 10. He speaks of his sometimes finding it hard rejoicing in the glorious perfections of God and longing to live to him, but complains of the unfixedness of his thoughts and their being easily diverted from divine subjects, cries out of his leanness as testifying against him in the loudest manner. And concerning those diversions he was obliged to use for his health, he says that, he sometimes found he could use diversions with singleness of heart, aiming at the glory of God, but that he also found there was a necessity of great care and watchfulness, lest he should lose that spiritual temper of mind in his diversions, and lest they should degenerate into what was merely selfish, without any supreme aim at the glory of God in them. Lord's Day, May 10, at Headline. I could not but feel some measure of gratitude to God at this time, wherein I was much exercised, that he had always disposed me in my ministry to insist on the great doctrines of regeneration, the new creature, faith in Christ, progressive sanctification, supreme love to God, living entirely to the glory of God, being not our own, and the like. God thus helped me to see, in the surest manner from time to time, that these, and the like doctrines necessarily connected with them, are the only foundation of safety and salvation for perishing sinners, and that those divine dispositions which are consonant hereto are that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The exercise of these godlike tempers, wherein the soul acts in a kind of concert with God, and would be and do everything that is pleasing to him, I saw would stand by the soul in a dying hour. For God must, I think, deny himself if he cast away his own image, even the soul that is one and desires with himself. Lord's Day, May 17 at Millington. Spent the forenoon at home, being unable to attend the public worship. At this time, God gave me some affecting sense of my own vileness and the exceeding sinfulness of my heart. And there seemed to be nothing but sin and corruption within me. Innumerable evils compassed me about, my want of spirituality and holy living, my neglect of God and living to myself. All the abominations of my heart and life seemed to be open to my view. I had nothing to say but, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Towards noon I saw that the grace of God in Christ is infinitely free towards sinners, and such sinners as I was. I also saw that God is the supreme good, that in his presence is life, and I began to long to die, and that I might be with him in a state of freedom from all sin. Oh, how a small glimpse of his excellency refreshed my soul. Oh, how worthy is the blessed God to be loved, adored, and delighted in for himself, for his own divine excellencies. Though I felt much dullness and need of a spirit in prayer this week, yet I had some glimpses of the excellency of divine things, especially one morning in secret meditation and prayer, the excellency and beauty of holiness as a likeness to the glorious God was so discovered to me that I began to long earnestly to be in that world where holiness dwells in perfection. I seemed to long for this perfect holiness, not so much for the sake of my own happiness, although I saw clearly that this was the greatest and the only happiness of the soul, but so that I might please God, live entirely to him, and glorify him to the utmost stretch of my rational powers and capacities. Amen, David Brainerd. That will take us to Lord's Day, May 24th of his final year. Notice we went from November to May just in this reading. We'll be going fairly quickly here through the year. It looks like about four more readings will do this. That's two a week for the next couple of weeks. And David Brainerd will be done. But what he has put into our life certainly will not be done, will it? I trust that you are not suffering at least too much tonight. But if you are, that what you have heard from David Brainerd will be a blessing to you. How he endured all that he endured for the sake of the gospel, and how he grew thereby. All right, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk pretty soon. Bye-bye.